Hello, I'm Luke Halpern from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. On today's episode, I'm interviewing Dr. Gustavo Alba, a board-certified psychiatrist, to discuss mental health awareness and the importance of mental health in both patients and pharmacists. So, Dr. Alba, would you want to start by introducing yourself and giving us a little bit of a rundown of some of your responsibilities and what you've been doing?
I'd be happy to. I'm Gus Alba. I'm currently the medical director of ATP Clinical Research, a private neuropsychiatric clinical research group that is housed out of Orange, California. In my previous life, I helped run the clinical research division out of the University of California in Irvine. And I still serve on the volunteer faculty at the University of California in Riverside. Also help out with the University of California in Irvine and Chapman University. I really enjoyed teaching. So we oftentimes have residents, fellows, students from nurse practitioner programs, PA programs, to come by our clinics and actually get indoctrinated regarding everything psychiatric. I lead a big clinical research group, and I help out on a daily basis with individuals that suffer with neuropsychiatric conditions. Part of the reason by which I'm a Distinguished Life Fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, and have been very blessed to have been working in this space for, over a quarter of a decade.
Well, thank you for that great rundown of your responsibilities. I'm happy that we're able to take this time to sit down and talk about mental health and mental health awareness, which has increasingly come into more of the public eye in recent years. So just to start our discussion and give a brief overview to our audience, could you explain why it's important to care about your mental health?
Oh, my goodness. It's enormously important to care about your mental health, you know, and the best way of actually being able to do that is to have an open dialogue. And as a consequence of that, one needs to be educated and one needs to advocate for mental health as well as those individuals that suffer with mental health. There's unfortunately still a fair amount of stigma that remains out in the world, and it might lead to different feelings of shame and isolation in individuals that suffer with different types of neuropsychiatric problems. And that then unfortunately leads towards a reluctance to seek out treatment. So it's kind of nice that, we now have, additional days of awareness. And just to give you an example, right now it's the end of June, but, we've recently seen in the previous months a World Bipolar Day on March 30th, the fact that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and that the World Schizophrenia Awareness Day was observed on May 24th, and soon to come, on October 10th, we will have World Mental Health Day. So there are different platforms that we should be utilizing to help spread, education, but also to help fight stigma that still exists out there.
Definitely. That is all wonderful. And I think pharmacists and other healthcare providers have a key role to play in this vein. It might be difficult for some to integrate that into their workflows, given their expertise might reside more on the clinical side. So how can pharmacists effectively support patients with mental health conditions and provide them proper counseling?
Well, education is really critical. We've made mention that there's a fair amount of people out there that suffer with mental health related issues. If you think about the current numbers, about 50 million American adults have experience with mental illness. That's about 20% of the population. By the way, when I address mental issues, I'm talking about any condition that might affect your mood, your thinking, or your behavior. Oftentimes, people think about depression or anxiety disorders, but it's important to not be dismissive of things like addictive behaviors or addictive disorders that oftentimes come about from people trying to self medicate. Another great example of conditions that are harrowing are conditions like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. So, you know, we have a plethora of different conditions that assail people. Obviously, I'm not being dismissive of eating disorders either, but, you know, there's a lot of different examples that we could utilize in which pharmacists, clinicians can educate the public about why it is that it's important that one take care of their mental health as well as take care of their physical health.
Absolutely. And pharmacists are definitely one of the most front-facing healthcare providers in the field, I would say. They're often encountering their patients when they go to pick up their prescriptions or perhaps get a test for a sickness or be evaluated for a cold. So they're in a very good position to look at their patients, see if there's any changes subtly that may be a sign of something more serious underlying. What are some subtle signs of mental health struggles that pharmacists might notice in their patients during these routine interactions, and how can they look out for them?
Absolutely. You know, definitely, like you said, pharmacists are going to be forward-facing. That basically means that they're able to see people as they come in. The overall physical appearance of someone can give you a lot of clues about what's going on with them, their expressions or lack thereof, their ability to express themselves or lack thereof, their ability to process information, to remember, to think things through, or the lack thereof. So again, you know, the pharmacist is able to, in a snapshot moment, be able to take a look at a lot of different things, but also, you know, get information being sent to them. When prescriptions are being looked at, you know, it's critical that, you know, people feel empowered about what it is that's going on with them, right? If they go see a clinician that's prescribing a medicine to them, they may oftentimes have questions. What's the good? What's the bad? What's the alternative associated with this? But pharmacists also have the ability to dispel a lot of myths, to be able to speak about neuropsychiatric conditions very much like any other physical malady, the fact that we can diagnose and we can effectively treat. The most important thing, though, is that if a prescription is being given, that the individual actually takes their medicine. Just to give you an example, you know, individuals that suffer with schizophrenia, we're talking about close to 2.8 million Americans, you know, about 40 to 50% of patients that suffer with schizophrenia will experience medication non-adherence. Well, that's a particular area where pharmacists can help out greatly. You know, individuals with bipolar disorder, there we're talking about nearly 4.8 million American adults. About 90% of patients will experience a recurrence during their lifetime. That means that these are folks that need to be educated about the importance associated with taking their medicine. And bear in mind that less than 10% of patients with mental health disorders are receiving effective treatments. We know that there are different types of approaches, which include pills, that might include patches, that might include long-acting injectables. But if the individual isn't educated about these things, then they're not necessarily going to know that there are alternatives for them, or they might be taking combinations of medicines, and they might want to have a more simplified approach in trying to remember what they're supposed to take or not. So obviously, pharmacists and clinicians both can help out greatly with taking a look at the lifestyle of the individual, the support that they're receiving from the family or the community, and the available treatments that are out there to determine the right fit for them. And the important point here is that there's a fair amount of alternatives, or again, choices that the individual can be helped out with.
And that was actually a great way to segue to my next question, which does talk about medication adherence. Pharmacists are obviously, their main responsibility is helping to prescribe these medications to patients, figuring out what might benefit them the most, what should they be taking, what should they not be taking. What are some of the best practices for addressing medication adherence challenges in patients with anxiety, depression, or other psychiatric conditions when, you know, there are issues with taking a pill at a specific time and day, taking it with food or without food, things like that.
You bet. Well, it's not one size fits all. So it's always very important to take a look at what it is that's being utilized to help out with the patient, and then subsequently take a look at what might be the best fit for that person. For example, the overall agency that oversees the conduct of the utilization of medications, Federal Drug Administration, oftentimes puts out different types of monikers in package inserts of medications, which can be scary. Imagine if you get a prescription of a medicine that says you might have suicidal ideation or behavior if you happen to start taking the medicine. If there's a black box that says you might have an increase of death because of cardiovascular or lower respiratory infectious issues, well, it's not a bad idea to take a look at why it is that that language is embedded in there, right? So language can be scary or it can be uplifting, but it requires professionals to be able to then, you know, again, help out patients, individuals that aren't necessarily well-versed with medical issues as to why certain language is embedded in there. It's not a scare tactic. It's simply a way of sensitizing clinicians about possibilities and to be able to have discussions with patients. I'll give you an example. Regardless of whether somebody comes in to see me with an affective, a psychotic, a cognitive disorder, mood-related disorder, I will oftentimes say it's very important for you to stay well hydrated. You need to be making the right food choices. You know, again, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, lean meats, easy on the carbs. Walk at least 30 minutes, meaning get involved with some type of aerobic activity, but also stay mentally involved and shelter your sleep. So I address those points even before I start talking about medicines. And it's not a bad idea to let people know, look, this is the expected outcome that I would like to see with the use of your medicine. But there are also the possibility of side effects associated with the use of any and all medicines. And the most common ones happen to be these. And that way the individual can be walked through things that might be anxiety evoking. And then also the importance of why it is that we use a medicine. Look, think about it. You probably wouldn't. I probably wouldn't want to be taking a medicine that we wouldn't need to take. And so just expressing to the patient, look, the reason for the use of this medicine is to help offset this or that. And as a consequence of that, enjoin the individual, make them a part of the decision-making process, and then help them so as to be able to navigate the best option for them.
That was all great. And it definitely sounds like a main tenet of this is just having thorough communication and just ensuring that you're, you know, talking to your patient and just making sure that they're talking to you at the same time and just building that rapport, that trust between the pharmacist and patient, between the patient and any treatment provider seems like it's the most critical aspect, or at least one of the most critical aspects. And, you know, dealing with a lot of these, dealing with the patients and their mental health problems might also cause burnout and mental health issues for the pharmacist or the provider themselves, which is, you know, a critical thing to acknowledge. So I wanted to ask you, what strategies can pharmacists employ to help them manage their own mental health in an often demanding healthcare environment?
Yeah. Well, healthcare providers, and I, by the way, bunch in pharmacists in there, right, are always prone towards additional issues. One of my dear friends once said, hey, you know what, Gus, it seems like my patients are like emotional vampires. I've had a very rough day where all of a sudden I felt I have like all this energy drained out of me and taking care of my patients. And see, in the sake of doing the very best job that we possibly can, we sometimes do get sucked into this scenario where we are just giving so much of ourselves. So it's always important to take care of ourselves too. Akin to when you go on an airplane and the stewardess says, hey, listen, if in case that there's any trouble with the aircraft and all of a sudden oxygen gets depleted, these masks are going to come down from the roof and make sure that you you place your mask on yourself before you try to actually help out your child if your child is next to you. And that makes a lot of sense. If we're not taking care of ourselves, how can we help out someone else? So I would enjoin pharmacists, any clinician, any healthcare provider to, again, apply the golden rule. And if we are letting individuals know it's important to stay well hydrated, eat the right things, stay active physically and mentally, and shelter your sleep, well, we should be doing that as well. And so, again, it's no dishonesty. It's simply just placing the same onus on us that we place on others. And to give you an example, you know, and when we talk about difficulties with adherence of medications, where pharmacists are particularly prone towards helping out individuals, we made mention of two conditions, bipolar 1 disorder and schizophrenia, in which individuals oftentimes also will burn out in the sense of thinking, why do I have to remember to take my medicine every day? Or they are hounded by their loved ones who have seen them fall by the wayside and be hospitalized. And now they're saying, hey, did you take your medicine? Did you take your medicine? Did you take your medicine? And there's almost an irritation factor that sets in with having to remember to take one's medicine. For example, for those two conditions, we have a family of agents called long-acting injectable medicines that can help out greatly along lines of being able to maintain wellness in individuals with a mood disorder. In other words, try to decrease the likelihood of a relapse into, a bipolar mood episode, or to help out the patients with schizophrenia in regards to their underlying psychotic symptomatology and avert the likelihood of another relapse that might then lead them towards a hospital stay. I would say that pharmacists and clinicians in general get a sense of satisfaction when they know that they've done the right thing, meaning they've educated the individual, empowered them, and helped elevate their game so that they understand that, hey, a long-acting injectable might be now a type of therapy that I didn't have before that fits better within my lifestyle. And if I don't want to be encumbered with having to remember to take my medicine every single day, then I might now have an avenue whereby I'm not missing my medication, whether that be accidental or intentional. And by the way, another very important thing is that if somebody were to be on a long-acting injectable treatment option and they miss an injection appointment, well, that allows for the clinician for a timely intervention, whereas other treatment modalities might not necessarily be able to afford that. So those are some of the ways in which I see pharmacists and clinicians feeling invigorated doing the right thing.
Absolutely. And I think what you talked about, the switching the treatment modality, is especially important as new treatments continue to, you know, be released, and there's always new ones that are being studied in clinical trials. It's definitely important that as the options for patients continue to, you know, increase, like a double, triple, eventually, there's going to be new ways to get the relief that they need. I need to find out which strategy works best for them. So that's definitely a great point. And I feel like we were talking earlier about communication, and I wanted to circle back to that a little within, again, the pharmacy itself. And it's obviously important to be able to talk to your colleagues and be able to talk to your peers and who you're working with and discuss, you know, especially in the environment of a pharmacy, things can get intense and you need to be able to have a solid support group around you that can, you know, lift you up and kind of help nip these mental health problems in the bud before it becomes a full-blown issue. So can you give a little bit of insight into how pharmacy teams or healthcare teams in general can foster a more supportive and stigma-free environment for discussing mental health, both among colleagues and with their patients?
Well, I'll tell you, just like we educate patients and their caregivers to speak with their healthcare professionals about treatments that are available to them and determine what treatment's the right fit for them and their lifestyle, I think that we as professionals can also have the opportunity of dialogue amongst one another and take a look at what strategies have have been successful for us in the patients that we end up educating and helping out. And I think that that elevates everybody's game, right? I think that that gives people a sensation of freshness of air that comes in with them, right? Because then all of a sudden we know that we're doing the right thing. We've tailored treatment options for individuals based on their unique circumstances and preferences. And, you know, in the same way, we are doing, you know, what we need to do for ourselves also, and that is helping and supporting one another and helping destigmatize. Being an advocate, by the way, is such a critical issue. But to be an advocate, you really need to be an expert in the area that you are talking about. But once you start advocating for others, you know, just like we advocate for others, we need to advocate for ourselves. And ultimately, that's where I would see your question actually fitting in beautifully.
I couldn't agree more, Dr. Alva. That was all fantastic. And you know, you answered all those questions perfectly. So I wanted to give you the opportunity. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to our pharmacy focus audience that you think that they should know about before we finish up our conversation for today?
Well, just the fact that we are living in a time in which we've seen so much advancement in reference to the tools that we're able to afford our patients. And being the purveyors of that information to our patients is something that is refreshing and fulfilling at the same time. I can't think of a better profession to be in than the one that we reside in. And I love the fact that we have seen such fluidity within the neuropsychiatric space, an area that I've been involved with for now over 30 years. And I can tell you, it's a very different terrain right now than what it was 30 years ago. So helping share that information and being, again, the purveyors of that information and being true advocates helps us greatly as well. You know, so as my dad once said, you know, if you do good, you'll do well. And that is something that is resounding on a daily basis for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to end it. Thank you so much, Dr. Alva, for taking this time out of your day to discuss this important issue. I really appreciate it. All your insights were fantastic and welcome, I'm sure, to our audience. And yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, future discussions on this topic if and when they come. And yeah, thank you for taking this time. I appreciate it. And thank everybody for listening.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me with you.